This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart, and we're joining you live from the WNYC studios in Soho. Here are some of the conversations that Team All of It is working on right now for next week. On Monday, we'll talk about the new Broadway revival of The Wiz with its director Shelley Williams and actors Kyle Rahmer Freeman, who plays the Cowardly Lion, and Nichelle Lewis in the role of Dorothy. And then on Thursday, we'll talk about the new production of Cabaret at the August Wilson Theater. We'll talk about it with stars Eddie Redmayne, Gail Rankin, and director Rebecca Frecknall. That is all coming up next week, but first, let's get back into today's show with a look at last year's Pulitzer winner for drama. The Pulitzer Prizes were awarded earlier this week, and the letters and drama categories featured a few previous All of It guests. The prize for biography went to Jonathan Eig, the author of King a Life, the June 2023 selection on Martin Luther King Jr. It's part of our full bio series. You can listen back to Allison's four-part interview with Eig on our website. Today, we wanted to highlight the winner of the prize for drama, playwright Ebony Booth. Booth joined Allison last May to discuss her now Pulitzer-winning play, Primary Trust, and they were joined alongside actor William Jackson Harper. The Pulitzer Board called the play a simple and elegantly crafted story of an emotionally damaged man who finds a new job, new friends, and a new sense of worth, illustrating how small acts of kindness can change a person's life and can enrich an entire community. Primary Trust is also nominated for several Outer Critics Circle Awards, a Drama Desk Award, a Drama League Award. It earned an Obie Award for Harper's performance as Kenneth, an odd loner who finds a job at a small bank in an upstate New York suburb. The Primary Trust in the title. The title also refers to the one person Kenneth believes has his back at all times, his friend Bert. Bert is upbeat and supportive and a terrific drinking buddy. He and Kenneth spend almost every night knocking back Mai Tais at a local tiki bar called Wally's. Aside from Bert, Kenneth, who's now in his 30s, is pretty much on his own. He was orphaned as a child, went through foster care, and just tries to get by. His life isn't going forward or backward. But when the opportunity for a new friendship with a Wally's waitress goes beyond niceties at the bar, Kenneth's sad yet stable existence is upended. Primary Trust ran off-Broadway from May to July of last year, and here is Allison's conversation with star William Jackson Harper and playwright Ebony Booth from last year. Let's listen.
Ebony, the play's origin story with this begins when you were at Juilliard. What was the assignment?
When I was at Juilliard, our mandate was to write three plays a year. And so in my second year, I had to write a play rather quickly because it was going to be sort of used for a public presentation of sorts to, you know, say something about the work I'd been doing. And so I wrote a very, very quick and dirty draft of Primary Trust. And then it was a mess. It's embarrassing. I can't even look at it now, but I took another 6 weeks to try to sort of get it a little bit closer to what it is today.
How did writing under time pressure shape this story?
It's a crazy thing. I mean, you're sort of powered by adrenaline, and all the time that I would give to my angst and anxiety, I just couldn't really entertain it. I sort of had to get out of my own way. And I guess in a way sort of, this sounds so cheesy, but, you know, sort of listen a little closely to what I think I wanted to say. And sometimes that doesn't happen for me in the first draft. Mm-hmm. Usually not until I finish the first draft that I'm looking at some sort of messy thing and start to think, oh, maybe this is what I was circling around.
So, well, obviously you're an actor, but you're also a playwright. I think last time you were on the show was actually about the play that you'd written. What is something you admire about the construction of this play as a fellow playwright?
I think maybe it almost feels like very straightforward and simple in certain ways. And then it's just not that, you know, it's like, it's, you know, I feel like there's something in there is a kind of for me at least, like a spell sort of being like being woven a little bit, where it's not like you know, there's like certain plays where it's like someone gets out and they want to show you exactly like, I'm really good and here's why. And it's sort of like the flex right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this play doesn't do that. It's like, it's like really confident sort of writing. And so it's like, you know, as things progress, it's just like, there's elements of surprise that you really can't, as a reader, that you really just aren't ready for. And so it's like, it's like one of those plays that works on me before I even realize it started working on me. And then it's like, oh, well, dang. Okay.
So when we meet Kenneth, what seems to be important to him?
You know, I think you said it really well, like just sort of like he is hanging out. He is having his drinks. He is living his life, having a good time with Bert, and just kind of, you know, like sort of flying under the radar as best he can, and finding joy when he can, and trying not to get roasted or, you know, get in any trouble, you know. And that's sort of where he is, just like, you know, living that small life.
Ebony, you have Kenneth addressing the audience directly. Sometimes the lights are up for a good in the beginning of the show. What went into this choice? Why did you want to have Kenneth engage with us?
Allison, that's such a good question. And I consciously, oh my goodness, what is the answer to that question? I don't know. I mean, there was something, there's something about his internal life that feels quite vivid. And I hope this doesn't sound like a cheat, or maybe as I become more savvy as a writer, I'll be able to put it in dialogue. But there's so much going on with him internally that I didn't want to miss out on. And I think that some of it also stems from my love of reading prose. And I read enough to be really intrigued by an internal monologue. So some playwrights and directors have obviously made that be able to work quite vividly on stage. So I was curious if we could still have some sort of dramatic tension with him being a little clear and careful with the audience about some of what's on his mind.
Yeah, William, Kenneth often stops mid-thought and changes what he's going to say, or there's in mid-thought, you know, Kenneth's having a thought. We may not get to hear it. What is the challenge in that for you as an actor to have that kind of stop, thought, start again, maybe jump to another thought? It's just the way Kenneth's brain works.
I mean, well, honestly, that's how my brain works. like there's that was one of the things that I was like, it didn't feel like like it really wasn't like a matter of like, what is this when we were working on it? It was more of a thing of like, okay, there's many ways in which this can manifest. And I understand, I feel like I've done this exact thing a few times. And there's like the, let me stop because I don't want to, I'm trying to, I don't want to offend you as the listener. There's the stopping because I want to make sure that I'm being clear. There's the stopping because I am not sure that the thing that I'm saying is actually what I believe. I'm, you know, it's like getting ahead of yourself and like getting out over your skis. And it that makes sense to me. I wish in certain ways that like I could get away with just stopping talking, in life, you know, I wish I could just get away with just like doing that and, you know, not having it be a thing where I have to address why I stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I just sometimes it's good to just be finished with your sentences.
Ebony, is it written anywhere in the script what Kenneth is actually thinking when he has these stop and starts, or is that work that William and director Knud Adams did?
Allison, that's such a great question. No, I don't write it down because I try to, and Will and I talked about this during rehearsal a lot. I mean, there are times when I have a thought about what might be left unsaid, but I thought maybe it would be more satisfying for Will as an actor and perhaps an audience member to fill in those ellipses on their own.
We're discussing the play Primary Trust, which is at the Roundabout Theater. My guests are actor William Jackson Harper and Ebony Booth. She wrote the play. So this is a question for both of you. William, I'll get you to go first. So he Bert's this great friend, like super supportive there for him. But how is this friendship with Bert keeping Kenneth from engaging with other people?
I think it's, because Bert at this, when we first meet Kenneth, Bert is his only friend and his only outlet. And, it's like, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, I think that in a lot of relationships, when you have one person that is playing all the roles, that can be damaging. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't want your domestic partner to also be your therapist. You know, it's like that gets really tough. And so it's like I feel like that's one of the ways in which it's like, you know, like all of Ken's eggs are in one basket, which I think is, while it's somewhat comforting in a lot of ways, it's also dangerous in a lot of ways, because if something goes wrong, then, you know, what do? You have no other, there's no spreading out of the tasks of the things that you get from other people. When you just have the one friend who's basically your be all end all and everything. And that's what Bert is for Kenneth.
Ebony, did you want to add anything?
No, I mean, I think that that's so true. And I think that I wasn't aware of it at the time, but now that we've been going through rehearsal and performance, I'm realizing that I think one of the things I wanted to write about was comfort and how it can be both boon and bane. And, you know, you get, it can be quite nourishing, but it can, of course, hold you back from trying new things that feel sort of unknown. And Bert, as comforting as he is, there's something about his constant presence that might be preventing Kenneth from poking his toe out into a different world.
Ebony, Mai Tais feature prominently in this play. Why Mai Tais, first of all? Why is that Kenneth's go-to drink?
I guess it's his go-to drink because it was my go-to drink for a little bit. I live in Ridgewood, Queens now, and there's a little cocktail bar down the street called Sundown, and they have Mai Tais. And I also... I like a fun cocktail. I like a sweet cocktail. I like a frozen cocktail. And what I also learned about myself drinking Mai Tais is that rum makes me crazy and a little ornery. And I didn't know that until I had two or three one night and went home and tried to start a revolution. So it became kind of this, just in the way that drinking can be this, it's like a bit of a time machine, what alcohol can do. But so there's something fun and inviting about the sweetness of a drink like that. But on the other side of it, I found some other stuff as well.
William, when you play Kenneth, is Kenneth an alcoholic?
I don't think that he would say that. I feel like it's, I think one of the things that this play does, and one of the things I like about it, is that we actually don't label a lot of things, It's like there's a lot of stuff in here that's sort of like, that's a totally valid question that you're asking, it's like, yeah, is he? I tend to think that Ken does not think so. Mm-hmm. There's other things in the play also that, it's like, oh, well, what is this? And does that mean that he has this or that he is this or whatever? And it's like, we don't know, but Ken certainly doesn't think so.
Ebony, in the play, for the most part, people are really kind. There's a couple of acts of kindness from different and surprising places. There's this sort of bro-like high school football player, now in his 50s or 60s, longing for the old days. And he could have really turned out to be sort of a stereotypical old white guy, bad guy. But he's just sympathetic and kind to Kenneth. What did you want to upend about expectations in this play?
Another good question, Allison Stewart. What did I want to upend? I think my experience of watching a lot and reading a lot is that, and something about, sort of maybe the chart of drama is that we're just waiting for the hammer to fall and for something bad to happen. And I guess part of me is sort of curious about drama that often feels like my own life, where the change is a little incremental. And most people, I say this very broadly, and of course there are variations, most people I come into close contact with are sort of doing their best. I'm no apologist. There are a lot of bad people out there doing really horrible things, but I was sort of interested in a story maybe where the drama came from somewhere else. And I think that Kenneth is vulnerable and really fragile. And I think as an audience member watching, I would feel sort of clenched the whole time waiting for someone to do him wrong. And so I was curious if there was maybe a way to understand change and movement when a lot of the stimuli is could be understood as positive. Again, that wasn't a conscious choice, but looking back on it, you know, there, and there's just something in me that's like, I don't want to sound Pollyannish, but just, I think sometimes people are trying to look out for other people. The cultural moment we're in right now makes that really hard to hold on to. I think, there are, there's just a lot going on. But I feel sort of bolstered and buoyed by the idea that there are still some people who have my back, even people who don't know me all that well.
Ebony, the other, it's a small cast, and the other cast members play multiple roles. The great April Mathis, she makes everything better.
She makes everything better.
Was it always written, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the other gentleman's name. Please shout him out.
Jay Sanders.
And people will recognize him right away. Was it always written that way, that those two, there would be one or two actors playing multiple roles?
Yes. I'm nodding, but yes. Yes, it was always written that way. It's I sort of like the idea of doing this sort of smaller cast and seeing, you know, and this way. I was an actor for a long time, and there's nothing wrong with the small part, of course, but I thought maybe it might be nice to have to give people more to do. So then we started sort of conflating roles into one actor.
We're talking about the play Primary Trust, which is at the Roundabout until July 2nd. My guests are actor William Jackson Harper and Ebony Booth, the playwright. Okay, this is where we're going to, not exactly spoiler, but reveal something that happens early on in the play. So if you don't want to hear this, it doesn't really ruin anything. The surprise is a little bit of a surprise because there are a lot of surprises in the play. So William, what did you think when you read this script and you came upon the moment when we discover that Kenneth is the only person who can see Bert?
I think that was the moment where, you know, like sometimes you have a moment where you're like, for some reason your heart breaks for somebody, and it's not because of something that is like you're watching something like tragic happen to them, but it's like, oh snap, you're coping with something. You're dealing with something that I don't understand yet, but you're doing your best. And I think at that moment, it was just sort of like, for me, it was like, oh, this guy is like full on having a life with this person that only he can see. And what does that mean? And I think that maybe like, you know, like, when I was younger, maybe it would have just been something that I would have been like, oh, whoa, wow, you know, and I think that, and just sort of laughed it off. And I think that maybe as I get older, these things take on a different significance. And, you know, it's just like, huh, like, what is that about? And so it's just like there's a lot of curiosity. And it just, you know, I think that maybe just some of the things that we had learned about Kenneth, like early on, it was just like sort of, it wasn't leaning into this thing of, we're just going to laugh at the foibles of having a person in your life that only you see, you know, it's like, we're going to, it's like, it seems like there's more going on. I was like, all of a sudden I was like, I don't really know where this play is going. When I first read it, I was like, I really don't know where this is headed, but I'm, but it doesn't feel like, I don't think I can call it. I don't think I can like predict where we're going, with any of this, but I'm curious. And also, I feel for the guy, you know? And so, then you know, you go on the journey of this whole play. And, you know, I remember when I first read it, I actually stood up at the end of it and I turned to my partner who was sitting literally right next to me, like at her desk. And I was just like, damn, that's pretty special. And so it was, so yeah, like it's, yeah, I guess it's just, to answer your question, that's a long way of just saying like it just meant that something is, it just made the world shift in a way that I'm like, now I don't know what to expect anymore. And I don't know where we're going. And And I think that's good.
That was Allison Stewart's conversation with actor William Jackson Harper and playwright Ebony Booth. Her play, Primary Trust, was awarded a Pulitzer Prize for Drama earlier this week.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.